Father, we come before you knowing that you are the author and finisher of all that's happening. And you know very well the hardships and the difficulties of the body of believers, where they've been at and where you're taking us. So, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you now to release this word and let it produce awesome fruit for your glory. I heard this word the other day loud and clear in my spirit. James chapter 4. So that's where we're going to be going. And this morning I'm going to, let's say, be aware that some will be able to receive this word because they choose to receive it. Some will have a hard time with it because it will show some of the things that maybe they've lived in or are living in or could be facing. I can remember when the Lord began to give me this particular chapter. I think he gave it to me every day for months and months. And I was reading it, but I didn't see the solution in it because I couldn't see myself. I mean, you know, sometimes we're blinded to ourselves. And I could not comprehend what God was trying to show me. And a man that I highly respected, said to me, "Kim, the only right you have is the right to be broken. The only right that you have is the right to be broken. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to look at your Bible right now. I want you to look at your neighbor. I want you to look at the Lord's face and say, the only right that I have is the right to be broken. Try it one more time. The only right that I have is the right to be broken. I like to defend myself. I enjoy defending myself. And why do I enjoy being right? And why do I enjoy being right?" Now, I'm prodding you because I'm trying to give you what God was trying to teach me at that time and is still trying to teach me, because there are levels of this revelation. It's going to come piece by piece, a little bit at a time, and eventually you'll catch on to what God is trying to do. But there's a solution. And the solution is in verse 6. So I'd like to start with verse 6, chapter 4, verse 6. "But he gives us more and more grace." In the Amplified it says, "Power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency, and all others fully." How many know we have evil tendencies? We want to slip and slide with the enemy because it's more comfortable. "That is why," he says, "God sets himself against the proud and haughty, but gives grace continually to the lowly, those who are humble-minded enough to receive it." Humble-minded enough to receive it. So the right that I have is the right to be broken so that I can learn about me. When I'm hurting, when I'm defending my case, is God going to slap me down? No. Thank you. He's going to supply an incredible amount of grace so that I will begin to see how I got to where I am and how come I'm hurting so bad. So as he's allowing me to be broken, I will then turn my heart by choice back to him and say, "I don't understand. I don't." And if I don't understand, now, Holy Spirit, will you counsel me? Will you comfort me? Because I'm hurting. I'm hurting. And I'm so tired of hurting. I'm tired of being wounded. And I want the pain too. I want the pain too. So if I'm in that painful space and it's not going away, am I being broken at that point? Yes. Will I weep? Yes. Will I weep out of self-pity? Yes. Will I weep because the pain is unbearable? Yes. But he gives me more and more grace. Do I ask for grace? Do I shout for grace? Do I cry out for grace? Yes. Do I cry out for the power of the Spirit to meet every evil tendency? Yes. And all other tendencies that have drawn me into this war to begin with, so that I can be the overcomer that he's called me to be. Verse 1. What leads to strife, discord, and feuds? Love that part. And how do conflicts, quarrels, and fighting originate among you? So is it happening in St. James's church? Is it happening in St. James's church? Yeah. Is it happening in the body of Christ 2,000 years ago? Yeah. Can it happen here and now? Yeah. Thank you. All right, we got that settled. Are you normal?
Yeah.
Were they normal?
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Do they not arise from your sensual desires that are ever warring in your bodily members? Yes. You are jealous and covet what others have, and your desires go unfulfilled. So you become murderers. To hate is to murder, the Amplified said, as far as your hearts are concerned. You burn with envy and anger, and are not able to obtain the gratification and contentment and happiness that you seek. So you fight in war. You do not have because you do not ask. Oops. That used to be such a clincher. Well, I've already asked God. Did you sense a little anger underneath? I already asked him this week, last week, the week before, and I'm still feeling just as bad as I was. Must be something dramatically wrong with. Okay, does that match Romans 8:1? No. So what's wrong with the emotion? Is there anything wrong with the emotion of it? Is there anything wrong with the emotion of it? What's wrong with it? There's a piece missing inside of me that I need that I haven't got. Right? Sometimes lack of knowledge will keep me in bondage, correct? And God is allowing a test to teach me something so that I can get out of that problem. And by being broken, I will become humble and God won't be against me. Right? Okay, so is it a favor of his to allow me a hardship or several hardships, especially when it comes always in the same area? How many know it comes usually from the same corner? And you say, oh God, I can't see this anymore. I'm so tired of picking up after that darn kid. Ouch. How many can say amen?
Amen?
All right. Did you ever realize that pride was in the back of this thing? Did you ever realize that this is what God's saying? I can't change anything with you until this corner gets cleaned out. And he's trying to get you and me to see it. If I can't see it, I will defend myself into death. Because you know what happens? God is against the... So are you really fighting the enemy? No. You're fighting what's been in you from the beginning, and God is saying, I want to clean it up. And so if you really look to me, I've got a solution. You may not enjoy the solution, but you will enjoy the results of that solution. Because as the brokenness gets formed, he then comes in what? Pours in more and more grace, and then you're going to use the word of God, and his opinion is there's no condemnation for you who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. See? He's trying to tell us you can get past this point. Okay? Let's look at verse 3. Or do you ask God for them and yet fail to receive because you ask with wrong motives? An evil, selfish motives. Your intention is, when you get what you desire, to spend it on sensual pleasures. You are like unfaithful wives having illicit love affairs with the world and breaking your marriage vows to God. Do you not know that being the world's friend is being God's enemy? Well, I would like you to put a circle around the word no, which means knowledge, inner understanding. Do I really have an inner understanding of what's at stake here? When I am out there trying to survive in this world, and everybody is looking at me like if I've got four eyes and six ears, and weird, which by the way you are, Scripture says that you are what? Peculiar. So you're not going to match the world. You're not going to look like the world. You're going to react like the world. No, you won't. And will they look at you strange? Yes, they will. You're going to look in the mirror and you're going to say, gee, I used to be this way, but now I'm not anymore. What God has done has transformed you from what you were to where you're on your way to become. More and more like him. Amen? So, whoever chooses to be a friend of the world takes his stand as an enemy of... Look at that verse 4, part B. So, whoever chooses to be a friend of the world takes his stand as an enemy of... Ooh. Or do you suppose that Scripture says... is speaking to no purpose that says the Spirit whom he has caused to dwell in us yearns over us, and he yearns for the Spirit to be welcomed with a jealous love. Oh. Did God know that you would have this problem? Did he know that this is inside of you and it wars against you? Did he release a solution to you? Go back to verse 6. He gives us more and more grace. Power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency. So if you think you're going to live without grace, you're going to make what? A big mistake. Now, how many have no problem giving neighbors grace? Christian brothers and sisters grace? How many have a problem giving themselves grace? I don't deserve it. I didn't behave like we... If you only knew how many times I failed, Kim, you wouldn't give me any grace either. Oh, yes, I would. And you would give me some, too. But You won't give any to yourself because you've judged yourself into the ground because you forgot what Jesus did for you. You forgot, and there's a piece of knowledge that's missing. Did he set you free? Did he wash your sins away? Is his blood justifying you in the courts of heaven? Well, what happened to the courts of your own mind? You lied to yourself and you believe your own lies? With the help of the enemy, you end up what? In judgment and in condemnation against yourself, and you can't even receive the grace that he's allowed to you. He's allotted grace to you, and you're not using it because you're still full of what? Pride and anger and resentment and bitterness against yourself. Because you didn't behave according to your own strict laws. And he put those laws, I heard this week, and it was so cool. Why do you think those laws were written on stone tablets? Did you hear it? Yes! Why? Because we are stony hearts. And he's going to give us a flood of flesh. How many know flesh is sensitive? It's delicate. It needs TLC. It needs something super loving. Yes? So what is God doing? He's trying to make your heart like his. Full of compassion, full of mercy, full of favor, full of grace. Oh, Hail Mary! Come on. She was receiving from the Lord a salutation by the angel. Okay? Are you ready? Close your eyes. The only one that can speak right now is Mary. Mary, are you ready? Hail Mary, full of grace. Come on, repeat it with me. Now you all agreed that Mary is full of grace. And the other Mary was full of grace. How about Hail Peggy, full of grace? How about Hey Robert, full of grace? Do you understand what it does? I want you to keep your eyes closed for a moment and repeat your first name when you get done. Hail. How many feel a stirring on the inside when they say the words? How many feel like it doesn't belong there? When we say Hail Mary, it's okay. When we say Hail Peggy or Robert, it's okay. But not Kim. Hail Kim, full of... Okay, you can say it, no problem, right? Hail Judy, full of... Come on, Judy. Say it. Hail... Hail, Judy, full. To overcome what? The what? The sin nature, right? We're right back to Adam and Christ Jesus. Amen? The first Adam and the second Adam. We're right back to that same man of flesh that wants to rule and reign, and we don't want to give him any compassion because he doesn't deserve it. Well, it's the truth. You don't deserve it, but Jesus did it anyway. Amen? So if you are full of grace, and you are, if you want it, if you accept it, what's going to happen to the anger, the resentment, the pride, all this other stuff? What's going to happen to it? Thank you. Thank you. And so now you have a victory, a potential to become what Jesus said you would be, full of grace and mercy, full of compassion towards you first. Verse 6, part B. That is why he says God sets himself against the proud and haughty, but gives grace continually to the lowly. Those who are humble-minded enough to receive it. Humble-minded enough to receive it. Humble-minded enough to receive it. So where's the change need to be? Inside the mind. Do I have the mind of Christ? Do I have it by faith, or do I have it in reality? Faith. It starts by receiving the mind of Christ by faith, by your declaration. I'm thinking more like him every day. I'm getting more like him every day. I've got more compassion, more grace, and more mercy to give out now because I am better than I was yesterday. Amen? So be subject to God. Stand firm against the devil. Resist him and he will flee from you. Come close to God and he will come close to you. Recognize that you are sinners. Get your soiled hands clean. Realize that you have been disloyal, wavering individuals with divided interests. And purify your hearts, you, of your spiritual adultery. As you draw near to God, be deeply penitent and grieve, even weep over your disloyalty. Let your laughter return to grief and your mirth to dejection and heartfelt shame for your sins. And it starts with your sins against who? Yourself. If you can clean this up, you're going to see changes in your heart and in your responses. Verse 10, humble yourself, feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. And he will lift you up and make your lives significant. Make your lives significant. Do I get a little tiny amen?
Yeah.
I want you to just look at two more verses in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 34 and 35, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34 and 35. Though he scoffs at the scoffers and scorns the scorners, yet he gives his undeserved favor to the low, the humble, and the afflicted. The wise shall inherit glory, all honor and good, but shame is the highest rank conferred on the self-confident fools. What is God saying to you? How do you break it? How do you change it? Proverbs chapter 3, 34 and 35. God has this awesome plan to change us. And it's transitional. It takes time. You need to be patient with yourself. And you need to declare God's word over yourself. You need to really, really look at how much grace you've given yourself. And if it's not enough, ask for some more. I remember being so discouraged because I wasn't seeing the fruits I wanted in myself. I wasn't seeing the compassion and the grace. And the Lord said, you're expecting too much right now. You're expecting more than you're able to give at this time. Please have favor and grace in one corner, but also compassion. Without compassion towards yourself, you're going to be stuck in these reasonings that have caused you this difficulty. And some of this stuff is not something that started because you chose to do it. How many know you inherited some of this stuff? It came with the package. When I came forth out of my mother's womb, I came forth with my father's weaknesses and my mother's weaknesses. And some are both. And God is saying, it's okay. Be patient with yourself. Be compassionate. Give favor. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes right now. Put your right hand over your heart. Pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, without you and your compassion, your grace, your mercy towards me, I'll remain the same. And pride may continue. But if I humble myself, asking for your mercy and your grace, you will complete me in your image. I've sung the song. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like him. Are you catching on? You've sang the song. Is he answering the prayer? Yes. Will you enjoy the trip? I doubt it. Will you enjoy the fruit once it's in there? Yes. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm trusting that your word is already inside of me. And it's getting stronger and stronger. And I will give myself grace by faith. I will give myself mercy. I will give myself compassion. And his mercy and his love never fails. Hallelujah. Remember, Adam was the man of earth. Jesus is the man of glory. That's what your song is all about. Be patient with each other. Intercede for one another. Pray until you be completed in his image. And you will make it. Amen? And now may his anointing be upon you as you go forth in obedience. And that the Holy Spirit will really prompt you to really give more grace to each of you. In Jesus' name. Amen?